You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Morning Focus here with you until 12 o'clock. A couple of minutes before we go any further, a listener in, I presume in Killaloe, was asking about the opening of a new store there. That's tomorrow. And Mary was in touch with me a couple of days ago as well. This is about payment for the presidential clerks and presiding officers for the recent elections as well. And she said she hadn't been paid yet. We've tried to find bits out, Mary, but hitting a bit of a brick wall in terms of the newsroom thus far. If the issue is continuing, let me know if it hasn't been resolved, and I'll try and follow it up further. But thus far, no joy, I'm afraid. We'll move on now, though, and vet John Underhill joins us in studio from Burn Vets in Ennis Diamond. Good morning to you, John.
Morning, Evan.
And thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. We're talking about hips today.
Yeah. Well, I suppose hip joints, yeah, cause quite a number of issues, and we haven't spoken about it for quite a while, so I thought it was something that would be interesting for people.
And it is a problem, obviously, for people as well. Are you talking very similar in the animal world?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I suppose in the small animal world, at least, I suppose the one that people might be familiar most or heard about it, and they might know what it is hip dysplasia. And this is a hip deformity where... Let me just describe the hip first, and the best thing, because I mean the hip joint is a ball and socket joint. So if you can imagine a tennis ball sitting in a cup, then you've got a fair idea of how the ball can move around it within a cup. Mm. With hip dysplasia, it's a bit like having the tennis ball, instead of being in a cup, it's sitting on a saucer. So it starts to swim. It moves around. And it can become dislocated quite easily, in fact, as time goes on. But that movement, where instead of a nice, smooth movement of the ball within a socket, and the ball is now on a saucer, the cartilage gets deformed, and you get arthritic changes in it, and it's quite painful as it progresses. And in small animals, it tends to occur in large breeds of dog. And so Labrador retrievers would be the number one. So labs are very... Very, very. It's very, very prevalent in Labradors. It's very prevalent in Newfoundland.
Why is that? It's because of the way that they have...
It's hereditary. It's genetic and within that breed. And you see it in Mastiffs, Newfoundlands. You do see sometimes in pugs, which are... they're not large dogs, but they're chunky dogs.
Bulky, yeah.
But labs are the big one. And over the years, when this was being sort of thrashed out by experts, they came up with a way of saying, well, we can try and prevent this by hip scoring them, and that's done with x-rays. So for instance, if you have a Labrador and you want to, say, breed it, and you want to have pups, and you want to ensure that the pups are going to have a reasonable chance of not having hip dysplasia, then you can have the mother x-rayed and even the stud dog x-rayed, and then you can predict to a reasonable degree that things are going to be all right. Or you can check your dog out by having it hip scored if you're worried about it.
That wouldn't happen often, surely.
It does. It happens. Yeah, yeah, sure. It does. It definitely does happen.
Because, I mean, there's an expense with that, obviously.
Well, there's an x-ray expense. No, hip scoring just involves an x-ray.
Yeah, but you're paying somebody for their time. You're paying the vet for the time.
Oh,
you're paying for the expertise.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a breeder, then it would be well within your, you know, it makes sound sense to have that dog hip scored for that reason, because obviously then you can guarantee that, well, if the mother has a good hip score, if we want to say good, then it would be useful for the breeder to be able to say, well, now the progeny out of this dog is unlikely to get hip dysplasia.
Okay, yeah, fair
and
enough.
And it makes sense. It makes sense because if you buy the pup then and you find you can have a reasonable confidence that, yeah, this is going to be not going to develop hip. And hip dysplasia occurs early on in life, you know, under two.
Okay,
symptoms
very
of this.
Young, so.
So you could potentially have a dog quite well crippled with hip dysplasia. It might only be a few years old. German Shepherds, you know, typically now, they would be another one that that you'd often hear of, you know, hips are sloping. And
are there hip replacements for animals? Is
that what you're talking about? Available, yes, and you don't have to go to Noel Fitzpatrick to get them either, you know. So, there are vets in Cork, Galway, and Dublin doing hip replacements in dogs. And that would be, that'd be the best for that particular problem. And obviously, it isn't expensive, but you don't have to go down that road.
I should say, what's the severe
case?
Yeah.
That'd be a severe case where you know, their dog is crippled and there is no other medical treatment. So obviously, you know, it's like any form of arthritis in some respects, in that, you know, some of it, you get mild cases, you get moderate cases, and you get severe cases. In severe cases, the only real treatment is hip replacement.
Okay.
And that is done, and it is done now, I won't say routinely, but regularly.
If it is genetic and hereditary, is there anything that can be done to minimise or mitigate the problem?
Well, this is where the hip scoring comes into it, you know. Mm.
Oh, just in I meant in terms of with an existing dog, exercises or whatever. But you're on about.
Okay, supposing. Okay, so if you have one and it has been diagnosed with hip dysplasia, or you're concerned about it, you know, and if it's mild, then you'll probably be fine. You know, you'll get through. The dog will get through life with a reasonable good quality. Provided it has some form of pain relief, so arthritis treatments that we would normally give to dogs with osteoarthritis would be used in those. Weight control would be another one, because obviously if they're overweight, and labs tend to put on weight very easily, so they're sitting ducks if they've just got dysplastic hips and they're putting on weight, then it's more difficult for them. So weight control and dogs that are have a tendency to put on weight, and pain relief, exercising regularly, and there are joint supplements that may or may not be useful, but omega-3s certainly would be useful in them.
In terms of larger animals, do you come across this often, farm animals?
Hip dysplasia is not really an issue in large animals, but we do see hip luxations or dislocated hips quite frequently in large animals, certainly in cattle practice, and that usually occurs with we'll say animals slipping in yards this time of the year, you know, conky yards that have been real bugbear of mine is scraping yards, you know, scrapers, and the rubber puts a fine coating on the concrete, and they're like skating rinks when they get wet, or if you've ice in the winter time, they slip on the concrete, and concrete is unforgiving if you fall on it, and they fall on a hip, and then they can dislocate it or indeed fracture it.
Okay.
So that's a serious problem, and you can't put hips back in too easily in large animals.
I can imagine,
for
yeah.
sure, but you can in small animals.
Okay.
Hips that are dislocated, provided they're presented within the first 24 hours, you can pop them back in again. After a day, then it becomes less chances of it being successful, and they often need surgery to get them back in, and you've got to anchor the hip in. My own dog, for instance, has an anchored hip.
Okay, and can still have a decent quality of life.
Oh yeah, she runs around all the. That was a road accident, so
it's slightly different.
What they call a toggle pin in her hip that anchors her the ball into the cup.
Yeah, I get
holds
you.
Holds it in. So there's a little anchor at the bottom of the cup, if you know what I mean.
I get
holding
you.
It in.
Really quickly, I've got about a minute left, and I just wanted to ask you, Frankie mentioned this yesterday when he was with us, Frankie Coote, with regards to dogs in particular, he finds becoming more obese. And you've talked about this before. It is a real,
it's bad as we are ourselves. It's a problem for the owners and for the dog population, for sure. Yeah.
And what sort of an issue, like, is it having in terms of health? Is it the same again, heart disease?
Yeah,
well,
they're just overweight. There's heart conditions arise, joint issues arise.
Like I say, put more pressure on the hips.
Putting pressure on everything. So, yeah, but it is definitely, it has been more and more common now. I mean, if you look at pictures of people 30 years ago, they look a lot leaner than they do now. And it's the same with the dogs.
Okay.
If you look at pictures of the dogs that you had as a child, they're running lean machines.
We're not walking them enough, basically.
We're not walking them enough. Yeah. There's the answer.
Absolutely. For both of us. John Underhill, thanks very much from Burren Vets and Ennis Diamond for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Clare FM's Morning Focus, the voice of the Banner County.